To Omar Droba Golden Gate, this is CamillePod.com coming to you from our makeshift studios in San Francisco's lovely Presidio. Today is Thursday, the 30th of August, 2012. On this date in 1836, the city of Houston, Texas, home of Rice University, was founded. In 1963, in response to the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Moscow-Washington hotline went into operation, enabling direct U.S.-Soviet communication via the Red Telephone. In 1967, Thurgood Marshall became the first African-American Supreme Court Justice. In 1999, East Timor, or Timor-Leste, gained its independence from Indonesia as a result of a UN-sponsored referendum. Today is Molly Ivan's birthday, the American newspaper columnist, political commentator, and humorist, and author, died from breast cancer in 2007. She would be 69 today. She was very, very funny, and a reminder that Texas is politically more interesting and less homogeneous than the Republican and Democratic parties tend to think it is. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politra column coming out this week is about a visit to an American hospital, what it was like, and how it compares with Georgian hospitals. Over the past several days, Georgian military operations against armed gunmen who have crossed over the Russian-Georgian border from Dagestan to Kakheti near the village of Lapankuri has turned the area into a hotspot. Georgian forces carried out an operation against these militants. Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili, who has been leading the crisis management group, announced in a television statement on August 30th that the main phase of the operation is over. Giga Bulgaria, Secretary of the Georgian National Security Council, said in an interview with Rustaviori on Wednesday that the clash near the Russian border poses no security threat to either Georgia or Russia. He stated that the Russians should not use this as a pretext for carrying out aggression against Georgia. Three Georgian servicemen and 11 members of the incursion squad were killed during this clash on August 29. Bulgaria said that Tbilisi notified Moscow about the planned operation through the Swiss embassy. He went on to say that the operation was, at that point, still ongoing. Six more saboteurs were surrounded by Georgian forces and efforts were being made to detain them. According to Bulgaria, this incident and the presence of this armed group on Georgian territory is linked to recent developments in neighboring Dagestan, specifically the Islamist militant attacks on security officials. On August 28th, a suicide bomber killed an influential Sufi scholar, Saeed Atsiev, in Dagestan. An FSB spokesperson, quoted by the Russian RIA Novosti, called the reports on the border trespassing and infiltration groundless and provocative. Nevertheless true. No, they didn't say that. Interestingly, RIA Novosti, citing Dagestani law enforcement officials, had already reported that the same armed group that Georgian forces were combating had indeed trespassed into Georgian territory from Dagestan. The militants were identified as members of the Tsuntin gangster group and had been attempting to hide from Dagestani law enforcement officials. In a televised address to the nation on August 29th, Misha said that Georgia will not allow instability in the North Caucasus to spill over into Georgia. Here is a brief chronology of the operation in Kakheti. Monday night, Georgian TV stations broke the news that five young men, locals from, or I think that was Tuesday morning, locals from Lapankuri had been missing for several days. Later that same day, it was reported that all five men had been found and taken into police custody for questioning. Further details were not available. On Tuesday, the Interior Ministry said in a brief statement that, quote, an armed group was detected at the border near Dagestan. On Wednesday morning, the ministry reported that its troops blocked the Lopota Gorge and were pursuing the armed group. That same day, shortly after 1 p.m., the ministry called the operation an anti-terrorist effort and reported that the three previous days of operations had been to free hostages. Shortly before 4 p.m., the ministry reported on the clash, which left three Georgian servicemen dead and five wounded. The dead included officers from the Ministry of Internal Affairs, Solomon Siklaouri and Archil Chocheli, and a military doctor from the Ministry of Defense, Vladimir Kvedzelidze. The Interior Ministry's statement said on Thursday afternoon that some of the 11 militants' corpses have been identified as Russian citizens from the North Caucasus. The ministry also said that the group is believed to be made up of about 20 people, so that the search operation will continue for the rest of the armed men. working for the United National Movement and conducted by the Tbilisi polling firm ACT, the United National Movement leads Bidzina's coalition with 46% of the vote compared to Bidzina's 24%. 20% of those polled were undecided, did not know who they would vote for, or refused to answer. According to civil.ge, this poll of 1,500 potential voters was conducted in early August. The poll's author said that their results were broadly consistent with the two polls commissioned early this summer by NDI and IRI, which both showed UNM with a strong double-digit lead. The authors of this poll claimed that the only poll with significantly different results was a poll conducted in July by Pensione Berland, the Bidzina-affiliated organization whose survey of 1,980 likely voters said that the Georgian Dream enjoyed 42% of the vote, 1% ahead of UNM's 41%. Speaking at a campaign rally in Tribouli on Tuesday, Bidzina said that his coalition will win the October 1st elections by a very large margin. The Pensione and Berland poll did not come up with very convincing details on method. At the same time, the very high no opinion and refuse to respond rate for the Rossner and NDI polls, many people think it was a problem in their first poll, since it was almost half. This one has dropped drastically to 20%. On August 27th, Prime News Agency reported that the U.S. Embassy and consulates are ready to issue visas to holders of neutral travel documents. The U.S. recognized neutral travel documents on June 5th, but was undergoing internal technical procedures that are now complete. The Georgian government has begun issuing these documents to residents of breakaway Abkhazia and South Ossetia as part of the state strategy for the occupied territories. Holders of these documents can now enjoy health care services available in Georgia for free, receive education, and enroll in various social programs. Most importantly, they may travel abroad without having to claim Georgian citizenship. On Friday, Israel announced their recognition of Georgia's neutral travel documents, becoming the ninth country to do so after Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Japan, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, and the United States. I'm guessing that many Abkhaz aren't likely to use these and will find problems with them, but I don't really know. So anybody with good Abkhaz connections that have information about this, please let us know. Like, for example, the Sepiakarta of the Twitter sphere. Opsny Press reported on August 28 that Russian border guards uncovered four caches of arms and ammunition at the so-called Abkhaz-Georgian state border. According to the news agency, the arms and ammunition were destroyed. On August 28th, the ruling party, the United National Movement, joined a memorandum prepared by the Central Elections Commission, seven NGOs, and the Interagency Commission regarding the non-use of administrative resources for parliamentary elections. Akaki Minashvili of UNM signed the memorandum on the party's behalf. Media.ge reports that the Media Legal Protection Center at the Georgian Young Lawyers Association have prepared a list of recommendations and clarifications for journalists involved in pre-election coverage. Gaila says that the recommendations include rules surrounding pre-election coverage. The organization expressed their readiness to assist journalists in solving legal problems during the pre-election period. Geostat data from the Ministry of Finance shows foreign direct investment is up 14% from initial projections for a total of $1.1 billion. The Netherlands was the largest investor in 2011 with a total of $242 million. While Geostat does not specify where the money is coming from, a high number from Amsterdam suggests that this amount is inflated by wealthy Georgians with companies based in Amsterdam who, for tax reasons, funnel their money back into Georgia. This, too, is counted as FDI. The notorious State Audit Office, SAO, said on August 27th that the United National Movement must return 315,000 lari worth of illegal donations back to donors. According to civil.ge, the six individuals who made the donations may face fines totaling 1.57 million lari. These allegations of unlawful donations emerged when Bidzina's Channel 9 aired an investigative report on August 19th, which showed that 27 individuals who donated a total of 651,440 lari to the UNM are registered in the Socially Vulnerable Persons Database. In a separate case, State Audit Office demanded that the court impose a fine of 5,000 lari on Georgia Is Not For Sale, a pro-government NGO, basically a super PAC, which buys TV airtime to run anti-Beat Cena ads. Following Channel 9 and Maestro's refusal to air those ads, Georgia Not For Sale gave the airtime to UNM for free. The SAO accuses Georgia Is Not For Sale of not indicating this non-monetary donation in their financial reports. This is an example of the Georgian ruling party copying the worst aspects of the U.S. campaign finance habits after Citizens United. On Monday, the UNM announced that it would organize campaign rallies in 11 Georgian towns on September 1st, including one in Tbilisi. However, in tribute to the three Georgian Special Forces members who died in clashes with armed groups from the Dagestani region on August 29th, UNM has postponed its campaign rallies for 1 week. The governor of Kakheti region, Gheorghe Gvineashvili, resigned to run as the ruling United National Movement's majoritarian member of parliament candidate in the Gurjani single-mandate district. According to Civil.ge, Gvineashvili won over 72% of the vote for the same position in that district in the 2008 parliamentary elections. Black Sea Press reported on Monday that this year, 24,501 enrollees high school graduates have passed their United National examinations to become students at institutions of higher learning. According to the Ministry of Education and Sciences of Georgia, this was 71% of the total number of registered enrollees, a 5.3% increase from the number of those who passed last year. This is the final year of the entrance exam. Next year, high school graduates will become university students on the basis of their school exit exams. Tbilisi International Airport's Turkish operator, TAV Urban Georgia, got an extension to operate the airport for another 11 years until 2037 in exchange for a pledge to invest $65 million in reconstruction of the current unused runways. The project is expected to be completed within 2 years. Everybody who has ever landed at the airport knows how badly the airport needs this, but at the same time, the government was really looking forward to taking over the airport when the contract expires, so this is an indication that funds are probably pretty low. Georgia will receive European Union assistance from the European Commission's Disaster Preparedness Program. According to Black Sea Press, the European Commission's program will provide a total of 8 million euros to the most vulnerable and poorest communities in Central America, Central Asia, the Caucasus, Southeast Asia, and Southern Africa. According to Prime News, Georgian border guards detained the Russian vessel Siberian 2128 for polluting the waters near the port of Poti. On August 26, the Poti court imposed on the vessel's captain, Russian citizen Viktor Kiryakov, a fine of 65,000 lari. Rustaviotis Kurieri News reported on August 24th that an ancient burial site was discovered in the town of Kaspi. Archaeologists estimate that some of the uncovered artifacts are approximately 3,300 years old. According to Rustaviotis, a Bollywood director has filmed a scene for the upcoming film The Other World in the recently restored Rabati Fortress in Akhaltsikhe. Pata Borchuladze, the well-known tenor's charitable foundation, Iavnana, reported on Friday that the famous Russian pianist Evgeny Kisin will hold a charity concert in Tbilisi's Grand Concert Hall on October 4th, sponsored by Iavnana. The foundation has organized numerous charity concerts in Georgia and abroad to assist vulnerable children. Misha Saakashvili pardoned 168 prisoners on August 28th in honor of Mariamova or St. Mary's Day. I heard, with absolutely no confirmation, that prisoners were told that any prisoner who could gather a certain number of signatures, I heard something like 1,000 or 2,000, or something like that, would be released. Interesting to check up on that. On Friday, the 31st of August, that being tomorrow, Kolga is showing No Man's Land from Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2001, at Dom Kino across from McDonald's and Rustaveli Metro, starting at 8 o'clock for 7 lari. This is a really, really fantastic movie. I highly recommend it, particularly anybody who deals with NGOs or the UN. It has the funniest portrayal of the UN I have ever seen. And the finger of the week this week goes to anyone who would murder a Sufi. I've said it before and I'll say it again, but Sufism will save Islam. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com, or post on our forum on our website, which is www.tblpod.com. And we will finish with Otis Redding recording in 1967, just before he died. This was the first posthumous song to top the charts at number one in the United States. This is Dock of the Bay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. Do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.